As long as it's not The Message, which is not a translation.
Settle down. I know. It's the Living Bible. No, I'm not the Living Bible.
The Word of Eugene Peterson.
No.
Welcome to This Bible Podcast. I know, the name's super creative. I'm your host, Sam Lewis, and I'm glad you're here. We'll be diving into the daily lectionary, and I hope you'll find something that is maybe a little fun, maybe meaningful, and hopefully brings you closer to God. Let's dive in.
I am Tom Woodland, he, him. I'm the pastor of Woodland United Methodist Church in Woodland, California. Trying to figure out this thing called church in 2022, sort of pandemic time. I think it's still sort of pandemic. Dad to two grown-up children, husband to an amazing wife for 25 years. And I identify as someone just trying to figure this thing out.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Well, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
We're going to take a look at Psalm 39.
Yeah. First egalitarian translation. It says, I said, I'll watch my words so that I don't stumble over my tongue. I'll muzzle my mouth whenever corrupt people are nearby. So I stood silent and still, not even saying anything good, and my anguish began to grow. My heart grew hot inside me. My thoughts burned like a fire until I finally spoke. Show me my end, Yahweh. How many more days do I have? How fleeting is my life? My life is as short as a hand's breadth. Its span is nothing in your sight. Each person is a mere mist. Everyone's life, but a fading mirage. Selah. People roam through the streets like ghosts in restless pursuit of vainglory. They build storehouses of great wealth without thought of who will get their fortune after they vanish. But now, my God, what is there to wait for? You are everything I hope for. Set me free from all my sins and don't make me the taunt of fools. I was silent, not opening my mouth, because this was all your doing. Put away the whips you've used on me. I'm crushed by the blows of your hand. You discipline people and correct them because of their error. Like the moth, you devour everything they treasure. Each person is a mere mist. Hear my prayer, Yahweh, and my cry for help. Listen to my weeping and don't ignore me. I'm an alien with you, a stranger, as were all my ancestors. Look away from me and let me rejoice once again, or I'll leave this life and be no more. Psalm 39.
It's an intense one.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it.
What do you do with this?
Oh, golly. Having just read it. I mean, not like the first time in my whole life, but having just read it.
This is a no prep podcast. You're good. Yeah.
No, that's good. What do I do with it? It's interesting because it's, this, it seems to me, just quick glance right at the beginning, there's this idea of sort of hopelessness in it, but also this sort of sense that I don't want to, the person's like, I'm not going to talk, I'm not going to say nothing, I'm not going to rock the boat, right? But even when I'm silent, the psalmist is silent because anything they say seems to be bad.
Right.
It's sort of that, can't say nothing nice, don't say anything at all. So there's that sense, but there's a burning desire to say something.
Right. Well, and you've got I was completely silent, but it didn't do any good. Right.
I didn't say anything. My life is short. It's fleeting, but you know, God, where are you? There's a bit of abandonment, but they're still crying out. There's a acknowledgement of this, this God that is sort of you know, remove your, in the NIV, it's remove your scourge. And this, it's, you know, take your whip away. Like you've just been driving me and beating on me. And
the Common English Bible says, I'm being destroyed by the blows from your fist. Yeah. You know, it is this image of God that, it's not how I see God, right? I don't,
not at all.
I don't think God beats people up. But I do think sometimes the circumstances in our life can make it feel like we are just getting whooped.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. But they're blaming it on God. I mean, verse 13, look away from me that I may enjoy life again, or look away from me and let me rejoice once again. Right. In other words, you're the source of my woes, God. Yeah. Even though we probably can say that the source of the woes is the psalmist. And the pain is just because the grief we feel because of what we've done.
Yeah.
I mean, this is David, supposedly. And so, you know, we know David being the not so great man that he was, but God, man after God's own heart.
Yeah. Yeah. David gets really praised a lot. And he's a real screw up, right? So I think it calls us to wrestle with when we are feeling just overwhelmed with just feeling like we're getting blow after blow, and with what it means to reconcile with God when we have kind of veered off of where we're called to. I do think it's important to say, like, I don't think God beats us up. I don't think God causes bad things to happen in our lives. I do think that often when bad things happen in our life, not always, sometimes bad things just happen. But often when I have bad things happening, sometimes it is a natural consequence of my poor decision.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And this certainly the psalmist acknowledges, right? This, like, Lord, there's still hope in you. Like, I still hope in you. You know, there's this movement in this, right, from I'm going to just shut up, but now maybe I shouldn't, and everything I do is wrong. Like I'm a big screw up and I know it. God, free me from my sins. Oh, but I'm so ashamed. Look away. And David is the king. One of my things I call David a lot. I say we have the David syndrome a lot in church. In other words, we're always like, God, have mercy on me. And then we're like, but would you smite all my enemies?
Absolutely.
Right. The same sentence. My sins are worthy to be forgiven, but everyone around me needs to be, you know, just dashed upon the rocks because of their sin. You know, we tend to have that double standard with all sorts of things around us.
100%. David, or whoever it is that's writing this, is saying, like, I am really trying. And it's like, as much as I try, it doesn't work. It makes me think of when Paul talks about, like, I want to do the right thing. I don't know why I do the thing that I don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it pulls on us constantly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's this emotional letting loose in this psalm that I often say, you know, remember Lieutenant Dan on up on his mast in the storm, just screaming and shouting at God. And there's a bit of this, although they're blaming this person's not necessarily blaming God. They're just mad at the whole situation.
Yeah.
I mean, they're laying some things in God's lap, obviously, you know, you taunt me, you devour everything that I treasure, or that they treasure. Now it's they.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, you're running around like a moth, God, devouring the things people treasure.
That's a crazy line too.
Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting because it's just after the psalmist talks about, like, these people wander around, they try to, like, collect so much wealth, they don't even need it. They don't even know what they're going to do with it. Also, you destroy everything they love.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like, is this a good thing or a bad thing?
Mm-hmm.
I think the answer is yes, right?
It's both. Yeah, both and. Yeah, no, there's quite a wailing in this, and sort of blaming, but also frustration. And, you know, but I like it because that's how we are. We're allowed to be honest, and we're allowed to be frustrated. And God allows that. In God's grace, we can write, you know, these are like death metal lyrics, as opposed to like, you know, 1984 praise songs. And so, you know what I mean? Like the Psalms are just raw, unabashed emotion.
Yeah.
Thrown together. It would be odd if we're like, hey, let's pick this one on Sunday to sing. When do I raise my hands? So.
At what point in this am I going to do the hand waving?
Are we going to use the flags for the scourging? The scourging or the beating? Or how's that going to look on our praise dancers?
I think, you know, though it does feel like it kind of goes back and forth, but I do think when we are feeling overwhelmed, beat down, that is how it feels for me, right? Like I'm not even making sense. And like God can handle that, right? Mm-hmm. God can handle my wandering anger and frustration. And I'm really grateful for that. And I'm grateful that we have in scripture example after example of people who are just laying it on, and it turns out God is still with us.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a sense too, like, and I think this culturally, these folks, David and those included, had a sense that, you know, God / the gods, because I'm not convinced Hebrews were monotheistic, or else they wouldn't have ran to all the other gods real quick.
That's fair.
Yahweh was just the God who had done for me lately. And they have the sense that, you know, bad things happen because God's up there manipulating, good things happen because I sacrificed, right, etc. And we like to kind of look down upon that. But I think most modern people, I mean, the car breaks down. Oh, we've heard, what did I do to deserve this?
Yeah.
Or this is God's plan. Or we hear these, sometimes we just say them.
Everything happens for a reason.
But I think most modern Christians or modern people still believe in that sense that there's some power up there manipulating everything. And it's based on our whims and our sins and our good deeds. And we somehow can control it, or somehow that God is responding to me and my behavior. And, you know, that, you know, I don't know. And so to get away from that, because that's not the God that, you know, and I probably, if we read all the Psalms, we'll see that David's growing through that.
Yeah.
And learning that about God, that no, God's not doing those things. Although if God didn't do those things, then David couldn't say that God told him to wipe out entire peoples.
Yeah, so, that's, you know, fair. Yeah, it's nice to be able to lean on that when you're going to war endlessly.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I do think that is a helpful kind of reframe to say, like, there's this kind of in-between space, because, like, no, God is not creating these bad things because of something we've done or not done. God is also not completely inactive in our world, right? We're in between, in that in-between space where God is active in our world, and God's not active in a way that says, like, smite you, you're going to get a plague. Yeah. You're going to, you know, I believe that, you know, God is active in the ways that we see the kingdom of God revealed.
I do know some people like that. It's comforting to think there's a plan, though, like that God's doing it. I had a church member years ago whose husband died tragically. And she said, she made that, well, it must be part of God's plan. And I was like, well, how could that be part of God's plan? And she said, I have to know that it's part of something, because if it's just random, then I can't deal with that. So I was like, oh, so maybe there's comfort in that, I guess. I don't know. That it wasn't just her husband's car tire blew, it went across the divider, he died and two other people died. Right. If it's just that, then that sucks. So if there is a plan, maybe that feels better. I don't know.
I don't know. I think for some people it must. For me, I'm like, no, that's worse.
Yeah, because then God's like, pop tire, death. But it's right. Going to be good.
Yeah. Kathy McShane, who's been my senior pastor for several years now, talks about less like God lighting a lamp in front of us for our path, and more like God sweeping up behind us the wreckage of our life, and then kind of out of the broken pieces creating a beautiful mosaic. And I love that imagery.
Yeah, that is a night. Let's, I think that's better, that, you know, God works things for the good, but yeah, it's the remnants that is being picked up and reshaped, and people may come behind and see that beautiful mosaic, and it becomes a witness to God at work. So
thanks for being here. Will you pray for us?
I'd love to. Lord, thank you for Sam. Thank you for all of us, even for David and his just sort of raging at times, and ebbing and flowing in the emotions of life. Lord, we all live out Psalm 39 all the time, in little ways and big ways, Lord. And we know you're okay with that, with our ragings. We know you're not up there manipulating, but you are maybe, as Kathy McShane said, sweeping up and creating beautiful things out of all of this, Lord. So thank you for that. Help us to continue to learn to love you in the midst of a life that makes us get a little nutty at times. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks.
Thank you. That was fun.
Absolutely.